Around the world, more than a third of all food is wasted. In less affluent countries, a lot of food becomes spoiled on the way to market, but in the U.S. and other rich economies, most food is thrown out at home because it's rotted in the fridge or on the counter. And the numbers are huge. On a yearly basis, food waste accounts for more than 3 gigatons of carbon dioxide, about a third of the human CO2 contribution to climate disruption. And with the closure of many restaurants and schools amid the pandemic, interruptions in food supply chains have led to even more food waste. John Mandyke is CEO of the Urban Green Council and co-author of the book Food Foolish: The Hidden Connection Between Food Waste, Hunger, and Climate Change. He joins me now. John Mandyke, welcome back to Living on Earth.
Hey, Steve. It's great to be back on the program.
Wonderful to have you. We're seeing reports that say gallons of milk are being dumped and fields of vegetables are being plowed under. What's going on?
You know, Steve, when I see farmers having to dump milk or plow under vegetables, I think about three big things. First thing I think about is that this shows the short-term balance in our food supply. Disruption travels very fast. Think about the egg that was served in the restaurant. That egg got to that restaurant just 1 or 2 days ago. If the restaurant closes, the chicken doesn't know that. The eggs keep rolling. And so the farmer is left with a problem that he has to deal with. And so that's what we're seeing with the short-term balance in our food supply. The second thing I think about is the lack of refrigerated storage for food banks. This has always been the case. It's always been a problem. If food banks had proper refrigerated storage, all this milk that's being dumped under could have gone somewhere. And that's the plight that the farmer has. Farmers say, I wish I had someplace I could deliver this milk. And the third thing this points out is that we're actually pointing the finger in the wrong place.
Oh?
You know, our food production and distribution in the United States is very well calibrated. Our problem is with consumers in the United States. The number one place we waste food in the United States is at the household level. We did that before the pandemic, we're doing that during the pandemic, and we will do that after the pandemic. Food is the number one item in U.S. landfills. That didn't come from the farmer, that came from our waste bins.
One of the interesting aspects of the COVID crisis and the isolation associated with it is that I think more of us are cooking. To what extent do you think cooking at home will raise awareness for people about how much food has been historically wasted at home?
I think it will. I mean, the closer we can become connected to our food, the better we'll understand it. You know, for a long time, we've thought that grocery stores were these magical places where, you know, we buy yogurt, we don't use it, we throw it away, we go back to the grocery store, and guess what? The yogurt is back on the shelf. Like, it magically appeared. And so we bought it again. You know, the pandemic is showing us with shortness of supply chains that, well, maybe grocery stores aren't the magic places that we thought they were. Because, by the way, the yogurt wasn't there when you went back. And so hopefully it is bringing people closer to their food, starting to question, well, why wasn't the yogurt there? Well, there's a long distribution chain to get the yogurt there. And so the closer we come to our food, I think the more respect we'll have for where it came from, how it got to our table, and how we actually should cherish it more.
So what about the whole notion of then put by? More people, I don't know how many more, are gardening out there. And it's harder to throw away that lettuce that you've grown with weeding and all the stuff you have to do, as opposed to just simply having picked it up at the store. To what extent do you think the making of food closer to home might help with this food waste problem?
I think it does. If you invest the time to grow your own food in the backyard, you literally have sweat and tears invested in your food supply, so I think that helps. But it points out another issue. I don't know if you've ever tried to grow zucchini in your backyard. The zucchini comes in an on and off switch, and so you wait all season, and then you get 2 bushels of them.
Yeah, some of them are the size of baseball bats as well, if you're not careful.
That's right. And so I know in my house, we can't eat all of those. So it really underscores the issue in our food system is that there's literally a bounty of riches when the harvest comes. And so you have to find a way to get rid of that zucchini. Otherwise, you're going to throw it away too, right? So you're making zucchini cakes, you're shredding it, you're freezing it. There's only so much of that you can do. And then you start your own food distribution system by giving it to your sister, your mother, your neighbor. but that too helps underscore the bigger picture that we have with our global food supply.
So What do you recommend that we do as a nation and as individuals to reduce food waste then?
Well, you know, as a nation, our number one issue is at the consumer level. That's where we're throwing away most food. It's the same in Europe. It's the same in the United States. It's really a rich country dilemma because we can afford to do it. Food is relatively inexpensive in the United States. And if we throw away the 99-cent yogurt because we were confused about the date label, we simply go back and get another 99-cent yogurt. So we have to have consumer education and awareness to understand the scale and consequence of what happens when we throw away that food. We have to have public policies that encourage us not to do that, and that means encouraging date labels that are rational and make sense. This has happened in Europe. There's been strong campaigns over the last decade to encourage consumers to waste less food, and we've seen that those have worked. We need those campaigns in the United States. If you look globally, though, two-thirds of all the global food supply is lost at that production and distribution level. This is an emerging economy problem where food rots in poor transportation networks, it rots in open-air markets, it rots in wet markets in China, which is relevant to the pandemic that we're having today. And so we have to find ways to modernize that production and distribution system in emerging economies if we really want to tackle the issue on a global level.
So what can we learn from other countries that have tried to tackle food waste?
Well, I'll point to two. In the United Kingdom, they started a consumer campaign called Love Food, Hate Waste, where environmental organizations and hunger organizations partnered with the grocery stores. And the campaign has gone well. Over the last decade, they tell us that they've reduced household waste by 20%, which is a huge improvement. So that works well. France is a good case study in a different direction. A few years ago, France passed a law that bans supermarkets from throwing away food that is otherwise good to eat. Now, that sounds like a great policy. That sounds like it makes a lot of sense. But we can actually learn a lot from the French law. What happened is the supermarket said, okay, we can't throw away the food. We'll deliver them to the food banks. So if you run a small food bank in a small French village, one morning you come to work and you could have 3 boxes of apples. That's great. You're going to distribute 3 boxes of apples to those in your village that you know that need them. The next morning you come to work, you find you have a truckload of eggs. What are you going to do with a truckload of eggs? You don't have the refrigerated capacity that we talked about. You don't have the distribution system. You can't get them out fast enough. So what happened in an inverse way is that the food banks were starting to throw away the food. And, you know, kind of standing up and saying, what just happened here? And so it's really questioned the role of policy. Policy is needed, but we have to understand the unintended consequences of those policies. And the French law has been a great lesson to the world.
What's the impact of all this food waste on our climate, do you think?
Well, food waste is, to me, one of the sleeping giants of climate change. If you measure the carbon footprint of all the food that we lose or throw away each year, and we measure it as a country, it would be the world's third largest emitter of greenhouse gases. And so we need consumers to understand that, particularly in the United States, to help change consumer behavior, that when we throw an item in the landfill, we just threw a ton of carbon in the landfill. An example is a strawberry. Steve, you and I are on the East Coast right now. If we eat a strawberry today, it came to us from California. It took a lot of carbon to prepare to grow that strawberry. The farmer had to go out in the field with a tractor. He had to plow the field under. He had to plant the strawberry. He had to water the strawberry, use a lot of water. Then he had to harvest the strawberry using carbon. He had to bring the strawberry from the field into a packaging place, which burned electricity. We took plastic, which is carbon-based, and wrapped it in plastic. Then we put it on a truck, and we brought it across the United States burning carbon. It got to your grocery store, it sat on the shelf, the store is burning carbon waiting for you to come. Maybe you got in your car and burned carbon to go get the strawberry, brought it back, you put it in your refrigerator, which is plugged in, burning carbon, and then you forgot to eat it and it went bad and it got moldy and you threw it away. It would have been better to throw the strawberry away in the field from the carbon standpoint because it was fully carbon loaded when it got to you, the consumer. And so we need to understand that It's not just throwing away the strawberry, it's throwing away all the carbon that went into getting the strawberry to you and to me.
John Mandyke is CEO of the Urban Green Council. He's also co-author of the book Food Foolish, The Hidden Connection Between Food Waste, Hunger, and Climate Change. Thanks so much, John, for taking the time with us today.
Steve, it's been great to be on the show.